Hello, everyone. This is Harriet Westmore with the Women in Public Safety Podcast. I am your host and producer, and I wanted to say happy Saturday. This is episode number 9. But before I get into today's interesting topic, I want you to hit that like and subscribe button if you are watching by YouTube, if you're listening to it by Spotify, iHeart. Please subscribe and share this episode for the podcast itself to anyone that you know that could who works in public safety and who are female. So with that being said, let me get into it. Today's episode is episode number 9, which is I thought it was an interesting topic I wanted to discuss today, and it's called, you know, the history of women in public safety professions, how we have evolved and what still needs to be done, and if there's, you know, what opportunities we have for growth. So I'm going to be reading some topics off of my notes. So if you see me looking down, for those who are watching me by YouTube, I apologize that I'm reading some of the notes that I have written when I was doing the research for this podcast, particular episode. So I found it interesting that women working in public safety, it goes all the way back to the early to late 19th and 20th century. Earliest being 1845, when a woman named Marie Owens, who was hired by the Chicago Police Department, she was the actual first recorded female law enforcement officer in the country, as, you know, being recognized as an officer. But her, you know, her role as women was back in the day was, you know, basically dealing with issues when it came to women and children, probably more of a social worker type issues, such as children who are unruly, children who need to be removed from the home. Those are the type of incidents and issues that women, particularly Miss Owens, had to was assigned to take care of. However, moving up a little bit, fast forward a little bit, in 1910, there was a woman named Alice Stebbins Wells. She was actually the first woman who was appointed to actually have arresting powers to make formal arrests. According to the police department, she was hired by Los Angeles police. So LAPD gave this woman an opportunity to not only, you know, deal with women issues, but she did have a powers of arrest. Now, whether she was able to arrest males, I don't know, but she was the first person recorded as actually giving arresting powers as a female officer. Fast forward into the mid 20th century during World War II, while men had to vacate, leaving their posts as police officers to fight in the war, women stepped in and filled those positions while men were, you know, was drafted and off, you know, serving the country in World War II. And even after the war, more women wanted to, you know, continue on having these positions as police officers in working in the police departments. But again, I'm sure and is, you know, noted that their roles were very limited. You didn't see female walking, you know, doing full field patrol. They were basically behind the desk, doing the administrative work. But they were still considered police officers because they were hired by the police department. Also, during the civil rights movement, however, and this is within the 60s and 70s, the laws did start evolving and changing to where the Civil Rights Act helped dismantle legal barriers, allowing women to take more diverse roles in law enforcement. At that point, women were allowed to go on certain calls again, more domestic type issues, related incidents. Still as a social worker, but they were allowed to be out in the field. I can remember, and I'm telling my age, those who in the audience may or may not know, if you're over 45, over 50, you would remember this show called Dragnet. I remember watching Dragnet, and this, you know, the female officers that they would show on the show, they were typically, you know, women, and they had their uniforms were, you know, a skirt and heels. So obviously, you know, they weren't out in the field or doing foot patrol or in the community. They were basically, you know, just like their male officers, co-workers. They were more like their secretaries. And I always thought that was, you know, well, how come she's called policewoman so-and-so, but yet she's really not, because she's not out in the field. She's not, you know, doing anything but being a secretary. But, you know, they still thought of them as part of as a police officer. So, you know, I know that there were documentaries of women who during the 70s were the first, you know, sergeants who did have to pay their dues, and they pay their dues hard because, you know, the sexual harassment that a lot of them had to, you know, deal with. And not only the sexual harassment, but just the general harassment of men not wanting females to be their equal as far as being a law enforcement officer. There is a lot of pushback, which prompted more, obviously, to have a lot of departments being sued because of the continued harassment, the sexual and the general harassment that a lot of women officers had to endure, had to go through. And between the 80s and into the 2000s, a lot of the issues had to be addressed. The sexual harassment had to be put in effect, the laws, the FMLA, family leave, and that's during the, you know, if a woman officer, you know, was pregnant, they were entitled to have a leave of absence while they're having their, you know, going through their maternity leave. That was something that had to be fought for, because they weren't, you know, they were looked at, well, you as a female, you know, you want to be an officer, but you can't, you know, take off to be with your newborn or children or whatever, with your family or whatever. So again, all that had to be, a policy had to be put in place, you know, protect, to give women the opportunity. Yeah, we're officers, but we're also women as well. And we are entitled to have those type of benefits for us to still, we still want to be officers, and we're still good officers, but we're also, you know, have a right to have children as well. So, you know, that again had to be fought. And during the time through the 80s and up into the 2000s, more and more women became moving up in rank. I know when I worked in Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department during, let's see, from 92, 93 up until 96, before I moved, went to other positions. I think the highest rank at that time was a female, and she was at that time was a major, and that was the highest. She was the highest rank officer in the department, and she was a major. I'm pretty sure now I'm sure that's, they may be, I'm not sure if there is a, might be a deputy chief now, female deputy chief, or I don't know if they've had a female chief of police, but at that time when I worked there, I was working in the records department, the highest rank law enforcement officer at that time was a major. So, you know, it's still a lot of barriers that we still have to break down. The highest rank, as I was saying, was the first female chief of police, was in, let's see, in Portland, Oregon. And her name was Penny Harrington, and she became the first female chief of a major city like Portland. And from that point, from when that was in 1985, also within, not only within major city police departments, but with, you know, moving up in on federal level, there were various women who moved into Secret Service, FBI, DEA, U.S. Marshals Service. Women started to become more prominent in those type of working in federal agents, federal law enforcement agencies like those. SWAT teams during the 21st century. I mean, we're talking about like now. More women are going in, coming in working in specialized unit, tactical units, such as SWAT. You know, usually most sharpshooters, as you would, as we all know, would be, you know, men, but there are some real badass women out there who are just as, you know, good, if not sometimes better, as a sharpshooter. And so they were working on in tactical units. But even those, you know, ranks in those positions, those specialized units, you know, women still have challenges that still have to overcome, the barriers of still, you still have that gender bias role of harassment because you're a female. You have to feel like you have to, you know, do extra to prove yourself as an officer because of your gender. And those, you know, that's still an ongoing issue in a lot of departments. Particularly, I would think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I would definitely love feedback in smaller departments, especially if you, you know, work in a smaller town or city and working for the sheriff's office or the police, your local police department, that is not as large as a major city type department. I would think oftentimes there are a lot of hesitant of hiring female. And if there are females, I'm sure, but there are, I'm not to say that there aren't any at all. There are plenty of females, but I'm just curious to see what type of challenges or barriers that a lot of females have to go through as the law enforcement officers in smaller jurisdictions. So we talked about the Leave Act of FMLA. We talked about the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. That was in 1978. Affirmative action policies, which was that evolved in between the 70s and the 80s. So let's talk about a little bit about the leadership training and opportunities and development that women now have. A lot of agencies have recognized that a lack of women in leadership roles a lot of agencies have implemented training for leadership for women, particularly to become leaders and supervisors in their agencies. There's also, you know, strives in a lot of policies and procedures to promote fairness and equality. And they also recognize the unique contribution that women can make into the law enforcement field, because let's face it, sometimes women, as women, even though a lot of us, you know, we always deemed us as being emotional, we have a way of connecting on a personal level. We have a way of building a rapport a little more faster than our male counterparts. That's because most of us have this nurturing nature in us. So when we deal with the community and deal with the public, particularly with domestic violence or sexual assaults type incidents, a female officer would give the victim or survivor of the crime a little more empathy. We're able to connect to them because of the fact that we are female, and we can, you know, kind of show more of a sympathetic and empathy towards the victim. You know, not always can you just get the facts, you know, blunt and get the facts. You have to kind of respect and the confidence of the victims that you are serving and the people that you serve in the public. And women seem to have that knack of doing that. A lot of them are, you know, they're just as hard, if not harder, than male counterparts. So, but I mean, as a whole, I'm saying that we have a way of, you know, connecting more with the public, and especially when it comes to crime against person type of incidents. We found that when you are promoted into working as a detective, women, again, are a little more detail oriented when in doing an investigation of a case, because we as women, we, you know, can find things out that maybe, you know, men can't at that time. We have a way of just being, I guess you want to say nosy, but we have a way of getting the information that we need and know how to get it. I don't know if it's because the people in the community don't pose women as a threat, and so they let their guard down a little bit. But again, we can be, as women, we can be persuasive in a lot of ways. And sometimes you have to use different tactics and different techniques in order to get the information that we need, you know, to help bring justice to, I guess, a crime that's been committed. And it's an advantage to have a, you know, male and female partner and when you're doing an investigative work, or if you even answering a call as a patrolman, a male and female partners, to me, would be an advantage, because, you know, while your male officer talks to the man or whoever, and if there's a woman, you know, the female can make the connection towards the female complainant or witness. So, you know, while we still have a long way to go when we're working in law enforcement and working in public safety, but again, it's all about evolving. It's all about, you know, gaining the respect, leaving that old school thinking that women should just be at home. They shouldn't be working. They should be just at home, especially shouldn't be working as a law enforcement officer. They should be just secretaries or whatever. There was nothing wrong with being a secretary before anybody, you know, jumps. No, there's not. I'm just saying a lot of old school thinkers out there still feel that women shouldn't even be in this type of profession. But again, there are a lot of advantage to having women in law enforcement and in these type of fields, because we can probably use our, as we say in the field, IPC skills, which is our interpersonal communication skills. We can possibly bring down a heightened situation just by communicating and our way of communicating. I know for me in my, job, sometimes the offenders that I deal with, I talk to them, especially when they're young, I talk to them like I would be their mom, and they appreciate that. And then, they kind of like back off and kind of backpedal. And even if they, want to have an attitude, and I talk to them, because a lot of them are, they're just, young, and I don't want to say young and dumb, but young. And, I just talk to them like their mom, but also, firm with them. And I think, they look back and they look at me and then they, apologize. Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, I'm not mad at you. I'm just, mad at the body, And so I just talk to them and give them some, try to put a little bit of knowledge in them. And it sometimes helps. A lot of times it helped, and they, appreciate that. I've had, feedback from when I was in a corrections officer, and I worked in an all-male prison. A lot of the inmates would, say, I appreciate you, talking to me, and, I appreciate you treating me like I'm human instead of, an inmate number. And I never had problems with them after that, they want to come with the attitude, but then when you come back at them and be fair, firm and consistent, and then they'll kind of, they'll backpedal and back down. So using, effective communication oftentimes diffuses a lot of situations. And I think a lot of, law enforcement officers, female law enforcement officers, have the opportunity of have the gift of doing that. So with that being said, I just wanted to kind of give a kind of a history of women law enforcement and how it came to be, and how important that we can are, and how we can contribute to serve our community, just like our male counterparts in our we all are part of a goal of making our community and our neighborhood safe. And so why not use each other's attributes, as a man and as a, as a woman officer? Why don't we, feed off of each other's attributes and make it better for all of us and for our community? So thank you for listening, and thank you for watching if you're watching me by YouTube. Next week, I'm not sure what the title would be, but I'm going to be doing something a little different with the podcast. I do episodes like this, but I also was given an idea, which I would love to do, is do some real life case stories, talk about cases, experiences and cases of real life incidents. Of course, the names and places may change, to protect all parties involved, but it's more like of a documentary type of segment. And I'm still trying to get the pieces parts together, my team and I. So just stay tuned for that, because I like telling stories, and I think people would kind of connect better by learning about, actual cases that many of us have gone through. But with that being said, I appreciate you guys. Please be safe. and stay healthy. And I will talk with you soon.